Simple step-by-step instructions using pictures are easy to follow. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. Don't just treat symptoms. Eliminate the cause. For more information, call BioSolutions toll-free. 1-866-885-6625. That's 1-866-885-6625. 1-866-885-6625.
This is the GCN Radio Network, home to hard-hitting talk radio.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at the Genesis Communication Network, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views, the views of our guests. And, well, for this hour, we're going to have with us Elizabeth Reidenauer, and we're going to be talking about teaching the Bible in the school. Now, of course, there have been many approaches to try to circumvent what the Supreme Court did, starting in 1962 when they put to God and prayer and mention of biblical things out of our schools. At one time, our children were allowed to study the Bible in schools. At one time, we could even whores. We could even post the Ten Commandments in our schools. But because there's an organized, orchestrated, concerted effort to destroy the religious beliefs of our children and ultimately paganize our country, why, those things have been taken out of the schools. And, well, there are people who are trying to circumvent this and trying to get the Bible teaching back into schools under one means or another. And so that's what Elizabeth is working on, and I'm going to let her tell you about it, and then about some of the programs that keep talking about doing that, but which are, well, perhaps would totally defeat what Elizabeth and people who love the Lord are trying to accomplish. So, Elizabeth, why don't you introduce yourself to our listeners, tell them a little bit about yourself and why what you're doing is so important.
Oh, good afternoon. Well, this is a project to have a Bible course curriculum as an elective in the public high schools nationwide. We don't solicit the school districts ourselves. We have commercials running by different people that are either on our board or advisory board. Chuck Norris, Walker, Texas Ranger, I'm sure you know he is. He and his wife are doing a commercial for us, and other people such as Dean Jones, the actor, and Joyce Meyer, and gosh, David Barton, John Hagee, D. James Kennedy, Bill Bright before he passed away, and others. And so when those commercials run and someone would like to work to get this implemented in their local school district, they'll call us, and we tell them how to get a package of information, then we work with them step by step as they go over the phone. It's usually a fairly easy process for people to get this implemented in their districts. To date, 94% of the school boards that have been approached with this nationwide have voted to put it in, and it's been voted into 379 school districts in 37 states. That's about 1,350 high schools that have it, and we have already had about 185,000 students take this course nationwide, so it's really beginning to snowball.
But now, how are they able to actually to present this? Is they presenting it as Bible as literature, Bible as history? I mean, after all, you can't present it as the Word of God.
Sure, you can't have devotionals in schools. It's our curriculum is called the Bible in History and Literature. The course, we have a 300-page curriculum guide for the teachers, and then the students bring their own Bibles from home. The students actually read through the Bible in the course of a year. They read through the whole Bible from beginning to end. And our curriculum covers such things as how the Bible influenced our founding fathers' worldviews, archaeology in the Bible, biblical art, the Bible in literature, history in the Bible, the Dead Sea Scrolls, a tremendous amount of information in there. And we're getting rave reviews on it. We have never had one complaint. We've been doing this for 12 years now in the schools. Quite the opposite. We've had different superintendents and principals saying that it's been such a blessing to their community that they're wondering if we might have a second year of it. So the Supreme Court says it is legal to teach the Bible as history and literature as long as it is an elective and as long as there's no indoctrination.
All right. Well, of course, the thing is, if our young people don't have a standard, if they do not have this concept that, that there is a right and wrong, if they embrace the concepts of we'll be right back.
Are you concerned about the high cost of prescription drugs? Since January of 2006, RxDrugCard.com members have saved an average of $33 per prescription filled. That's over 46% savings. The average savings for generic drugs was over 71%. RxDrugCard.com is the only major discount prescription drug plan that offers a price lookup page, so you can get an idea of your discounted price before you enroll. RxDrugCard.com is for anyone who pays for their own prescriptions. There are no age restrictions, all prescriptions are covered, and 95% of all pharmacies in the U.S. participate, including Walmart, Walgreens, CVS Pharmacy, and many more. With RxDrugCard.com, you will save immediately with no messy forms or paperwork. Membership fees start at only $4.50 per month and include a 30-day unconditional money-back guarantee. Visit us at www.rxdrugcard.com or call us at 888-216-2461. That's 888-216-2461. Do it today.
More than 700 chemicals have been found in our drinking water. And did you know that you can have greater exposure to these chemicals by taking hot showers than when you drink the water? That's because many chemicals are inhaled when they evaporate, and others are absorbed through the skin. The KDF shower filter is designed to reduce chlorine, lead, mercury, and iron, and it inhibits the growth of bacteria, mold, algae, and fungus in your shower. The media is non-toxic, environmentally sound, and is recyclable. The KDF shower filter will typically last 10,000 gallons or 1 year, whichever comes first. Hospitals, restaurants, and water treatment facilities use this media to reduce chlorine, iron, heavy metals, and bacteria. What about you? Order your KDF shower filter, normally $49, for our special price of only $35, a $14 savings. Call now to order at 1-888-803-4438. Order today and save $14 by calling 1-888-803-4438.
We understand that decisions related to health can be overwhelming. That is why at ResearchedHerbs.com we take pride in offering you herbs whose safety and effectiveness have been proven time and time again. For example, did you know that Live 52, the top-selling natural herbal supplement for liver diseases since 1930, is backed by over 300 research studies and clinical trials and prescribed by more than 200,000 health professionals worldwide? In fact, the effectiveness of all the herbs featured on ResearchedHerbs.com, including those for cholesterol, blood pressure, diabetes, arthritis, cirrhosis, and hepatitis, among others, is extremely well documented. Our website, ResearchedHerbs.com, was created to empower you with the information and answers you need to make the right health decisions. Researched and proven herbs at great prices. Visit us online at ResearchedHerbs.com or call 1-800-845-3841 for more information. That's 1-800-845-3841.
We and Dr. Stan back here at the Genesis Communication Network, and our guest this afternoon is Elizabeth Reidenauer. Well, Elizabeth, this would be, do you go into the background of where the Bible came from? Are you allowed to tell how the books were chosen, who wrote the various books of the Bible, things of that sort?
Are the teachers allowed to do that?
Well, I don't know, yes.
Is that what you're asking me? Absolutely.
Yes.
And now, if a student has a question that's not covered in our curriculum, the teachers are instructed to ask the students to speak with either their pastor, parent, you know, parents, rabbi, priest, etc. The teachers are not allowed to indoctrinate. They're instructed they're not to give any personal or denominational viewpoint, which we wouldn't want them to do anyway. But we have never had one complaint in any classroom on how this is conducted, and the students are extremely involved. The first school district that this went into 12 years ago in North Carolina had 10 high schools. The school board voted unanimously to put it in, and before we could even get information to the students that this would be available, They had already been given a sign-up sheet to choose electives from, and over 500 students signed up for this course on their own initiative, and it's been going strong there ever since in all 10 high schools. So the kids are loving it. The teachers enjoy teaching it. They do have to follow the Supreme Court guidelines, of course, in teaching it, but the students do read through the entire Bible in the course of a year.
All right, fine. Then do they discuss the what they've read, or how is it presented?
Absolutely. They discuss it. The teachers have lessons, plans, tests, activities. We're getting ready to have the curriculum put on CD-ROM, the same company that does CD-ROMs for DreamWorks, and it'll be a very advanced interactive CD-ROM that the students and teachers can work with on their computers. That should be out in about 3 months. And I would say Texas is our most active state. This has already been voted into 54 school districts in Texas, and a lot of states falling closely behind. It's not just in the Bible Belt. It's been voted into various school districts in Alaska, California, across the board, Pennsylvania, on down to Florida, and all in between. So we're really pleased with how well this is going.
Well, what about the Anti-Christian Lawyers Union, the ACLU? What have they done about this?
Well, they're furious. The reason they're so upset is because they know they can't do anything to stop it. All of our attorneys, and we have about 12 or 14 different legal entities that have already endorsed our curriculum, said if there ever were a legal challenge, they would defend it for free. We've been doing this in the school systems for 12 years. We've never had a legal challenge. Now, the People for the American Way found out some of the school districts that it was in, and using the Freedom of Information Act, contacted those school districts and tried to bully them and said they wanted all of their curriculum, copies of the curriculum, all their test activities, everything the teacher had for years back. And the school districts let us know about it, and they complied, and then never heard from them again. You know, if they thought they had a leg to stand on in court, they would have sued us. But we have never been sued because they know that they can't win the battle in court. They do sometimes try to bully school districts, of course, as the ACLU does with everything else. But they have not been able to slow it down. And we've seen a lot of school boards stand up to them. And when you stand up to them, then they'll back off and leave you alone.
Well, I'm sure you probably have much better luck with the school boards in the South, you know, but here in California, how are you doing out here? Because here in California, they will not allow conservatives, usually, on our school boards, and, you know, they'll spend $100,000 simply on a school board election because they don't want the children ever to hear anything that's really, it doesn't go along with the official liberal line. How are you doing in California,
Sam? Right. And I understand some of the schools in California are mandating some courses that teach about Islam and things like that, which is, to mandate them is just horrible. You have to teach the Bible as an elective, but they can teach mandatory courses on the Quran is just, this is ridiculous.
How normal homosexuality is, how we should love transvestites, and how...
Oh, sure.
And, of course, sex education is fine, but the Bible is certainly out. That's too controversial.
Well, anyway, it's either 9 or 10 districts in California have already voted to put our curriculum in.
Have they actually put it in yet?
Pardon me?
Is it actually in yet, or they're ready to put it in?
Yes, they've been using it, and it's doing quite well. And we have it even up in the Northeast, in Pennsylvania and Maryland and different places, states up in the Northeast. So it hasn't moved quite as quickly in the more liberal states, but it is going in.
I suppose one way you get around this is because it's an elective. It's nothing that you force on the child.
Absolutely. It has to be taught as an elective, and the students sign up for it if they'd like to take the course. We've had, for instance, in Louisiana, in the school districts there, which, of course, they call parishes, some of the parishes, they've had so many kids wanting to take the course, they just don't have enough teachers, and they're having to put kids off till the next year to sign up for the course. So we're pleased, but at the same time, we need to be able to have the kids take it when they're ready and not have to, hold them off for a year.
Well, now, what about the teachers? Do they have to take any sort of special course to be able to teach this? Well, can they get enough out of the books that you give them?
Sure. Yes, they have to be certified to teach in their state like any other high school teacher. And we do have a national teacher trainer who used to teach this in the state of Texas. She was actually nominated for Teacher of the Year in the state of Texas. She now travels for us nationwide and trains teachers whenever they'd like training on this. And the superintendents have just said she's one of the best trainers they've ever had come in. But the information that we give the teachers in the curriculum guide is extremely thorough. They have everything they need laid out for them, all the lessons, plans, the tests, activities, everything. And, of course, then we have a teacher trainer there to help them if they would like any additional help. So we've got all the bases pretty well covered.
Well, I certainly am very, very glad you were able to get this. And what do you do, you know, when, of course, in the book of John, say, where Christ makes these claims to divinity? I mean, how do you deal with that if the children would ask, well, is this really true? Is he really God?
Sure. The teachers are able to say, this is what the Bible says, and you are to draw your own conclusion. That's how they handle questions like that.
All right. Well, I think
and then the students read it in their Bibles, of course. As I said, they read through the entire Bible. But the teacher's not allowed to give any personal viewpoint. She can only say, this is what the Bible says, and you are to draw your own conclusion.
Well, now, do the teachers volunteer for this as well? Are they
oh,
chosen?
Yes.
Are they ones that specifically stipulate they want to teach it?
Yes, as soon as people start working on this in their school districts, they'll start circulating petitions. And in every single school district, we have always had the teachers come forward to teach it. Now, we're not involved in it. It's always turned out, of course, they're Christian teachers that come forward to teach it. And you would want people familiar with the Bible. That's who you would want teaching it. And then they're recommended to the school board, and the school board always agrees when the teachers offer to teach it. We've had just tremendous success with teachers.
Well, now, what about the, you say that you put these advertisements, are these television advertisements? Do you raise funds to put this on television? Is it on radio? How do you get the parents to get concerned and then try to, you know, raise support to get this into the school district?
Right. Our commercials, and we have about, I think, well, 6 or 7 different commercials. Chuck Norris and his wife are is the main one that's running. But those commercials run on about 5 different conservative and Christian TV networks. And they give a toll-free number, and when the people see that, they call in. And if they would like to lead the way in their school district, then we work with them over the phone as they go and tell them how to get our package of information and direct them to our website, et cetera. And as I said, it's amazing. It's a fairly easy process. 94% of the school districts that have been approached to date have voted to put it in.
All right, now, is it an expensive program at all?
No, our curriculum guide is $150, and that includes first-class mail shipping. And what we do is, once the school district's voted in, say they have 5 high schools, if they would like, we allow them to make copies of the curriculum for all their teachers. So there's just a one-time cost of $150. It's very nominal cost for the school districts to do this. Now, on occasion, not very often, but on occasion, we'll come across a district that just wants it, but they just don't have the funding available. In that case, the Supreme Court says it is legal for the private sector to fund it as long as there are no strings attached. So the churches or Christian businessmen can raise the salaries for the teacher, which, again, is nominal because it's just one period of the day. And then they can give that money to the school board to pay the teachers.
All right. Now, how do you raise your funds to be able to finance what you do?
Well,
you would have to pay for the commercial time.
Well, actually, these TV stations have been running our commercials for free.
Oh, they have? That's wonderful.
They want to see this in the schools. We've been really blessed that way. As far as all of our other costs for, you know, printing, attorneys, whenever we need them, just different things like that, you know, your normal cost, ministerial cost. We do just take private donations from individuals or foundations that would like to help us, and we've been funded that way. We do not take any government money.
What foundations specifically would be contributing? Can you think of any of them?
Well, Joyce Meyer's ministry is one of our main contributors.
Okay.
And I don't know if the others would want me to say their names on the radio or not.
Well, what about you have a website where people can go to learn more about this?
Absolutely. It's BibleInSchools.net. That's BibleInSchools.net. And we have a toll-free number, 1-877-ON-BIBLE.
All right. And if you have a question or comment, give us a call. We'll be back here in just a moment with Elizabeth Reidenauer right here at Genesis. 1-800-259-5791. 1-800-259-5791.
Some people believe a group of wealthy men control political parties, the American media, and the wealth of our nation. Is this true? Dr. Stanley Monteith spent 40 years studying secret societies and subversive movements. He lived in Africa for 3 years, and when he returned home, he studied the writings of the men who shaped the modern world. His book, Brotherhood of Darkness, identifies the people who control the world and the organizations they created. Dr. Monteith exposes the movement behind Rhodes Scholarships, the origin of the Council on Foreign Relations, and the myths surrounding communism. He discusses the goal of all covert organizations, so if you read Brotherhood of Darkness, you will learn a secret that has been passed down through the centuries. When you learn this secret, you will understand what the future holds and what you must do to help preserve our nation. Call and order your copy. 877-300-7645. Only $12.95. That's 877-300-7695.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson, here for the 2007 Red Book. The commodity markets like gold, silver, copper, aluminum, and oil have exploded over the last year. This is a glaring testimonial of how quickly the U.S. dollar can be devalued. Many have turned to precious metals to provide a safe haven while increasing the potential profits. Though accumulating precious metals has been a proven method for the storage of wealth, it is important that you understand the market you are getting into. Midas Resources is offering the Red Book and Silver Dollar for only $27.95. The Red Book is the number one best-selling guide to gold and silver coins. Call for your copy today. It's 800-686-2237. If you've already accumulated or plan to get into the precious metals market, you simply must have the Red Book in your library. Call 800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
Good morning, honey. Wow, the weather is beautiful, the cabin is terrific, and it's the first day of our vacation.
Yeah.
Honey, is there something wrong?
Yeah, I just realized we forgot to pack the travel Berkey system. I can't drink this cabin water. And what am I going to do when I'm out on the lake? Now the whole vacation is ruined.
Honey, cheer up. I brought our Sport Berkey purifiers.
What?
Yeah, I know you're picky about not having pathogenic bacteria, organic chemicals, heavy metals or foul tastes and odors in the water, so I packed our Sport Berkey purifiers.
You know, this is a terrific cabin. And wow, have you noticed the beautiful weather?
Don't ruin your vacation. Get a travel Berkey today for only $209 or get a Sport Berkey for only $39. Call 888-803-4438. That's 888-803-4438 or order on the web at berkeywater.com. Travel Berkey not available in Iowa.
Attention, attention everyone. A brand new invention just released. It's called WristEase, the new patented portable ergonomic wrist support. WristEase comforts your wrists from the sometimes painful tasks of typing, writing, using a mouse, or adding machine. Unlike most conventional wrist pads that are either attached to a mouse pad or lay flat in front of your keyboard, WristEase is totally portable and ideal for laptop users and technicians who are constantly on the go. WristEase is perfect for children doing homework or playing video games. WristEase provides the proper comfort and support for all ages, and WristEase provides comfort for victims of carpal tunnel syndrome and other repetitive injuries. You can order WristEase now at WristEase.com. That's WristEase, W-R-I-S-T-E-A-S-E, WristEase.com. Once again, WristEase.com.
Dr. Stan back here at the Genesis Communication Network. Our guest is Elizabeth Reidenauer. And, of course, she is with a project that is dedicated to getting the Bible taught in schools as history, as literature. But the children will read the Bible through from beginning to end. They'll be tested on this. And, Sydney, do you think the children really understand, after they've read the Bible through from beginning to end, the implications of this amazing story and how it all ties in together?
I believe they do. You know, we found that students have wondered what's been missing. Unless you have a working knowledge of the Bible, and particularly the books of the law, it's difficult to understand even the basis on which our Constitution was founded. And 88% of all students nationwide are still educated in the public schools. We've had students tell us that when they took the Bible curriculum course, it helped them tie together ends, loose ends, like of what they had learned in other classes. They could now bring it all together after they took the Bible curriculum. So, yes, I think it's making a tremendous difference. You know, how could students understand, say, what meaning would Leonardo da Vinci's Last Supper or Michelangelo's Moses have if the students don't understand about the figures who inspired those works of art? How could they possibly understand what's going on in the Middle East today without incorporating the Bible? You can't. As a matter of fact, there was a secular study done by the American Political Science Review on the political documents of the founding era of our country, and they found that 94% of all the documents that went into the founding era were based on the Bible, and of that, 34% of the contents were direct quotations from the Bible. So here we have the best-selling book of all time, and it's hard to imagine that we've gone through a period of time here where the students have been totally denied this. I think the Bible was removed from schools when I went into fourth grade. Now, what needed to be done, they said, was that the court said the devotional use of the Bible could no longer be in the public schools. They never said that the Bible could not be taught as history and literature. People were misled or the law misinterpreted. But now we find when the school districts realize that it can be done legally, they're jumping on the opportunity.
All right. Now, basically, then, though it's up to the parent or to somebody in that school district and to the school district to do this, and they just get in touch with you, and you are sort of passive there at the other end, but you've got the curriculum and you've got all the information for the school district. Is that correct?
Absolutely. Whoever would like to lead the way with this in their school district, and by the way, it doesn't have to be just adults. We've learned that even the high school students can run with this and get it in their local school districts, and the kids are great about doing it, and they're very fast. They're very dedicated. So it's just a matter of any citizen that would like to lead the way calling us on their toll-free number, and then we walk them through exactly what to do step by step.
Well, have you ever talked to any of the children who took this 8 or 10 years or 12 years ago, what their attitude is now that they're out of school, out of college, as they look back on their opportunity to read the Bible through from beginning to end?
Yes, we've spoken with some in Texas and in North Carolina who said it had a major impact on their lives. I remember there was a teacher in North Carolina years ago, a very savvy teacher, that told me one of her students who had been heavily into drugs and the occult, this student, young man, came up to her and told her he was taking this because he had taken all the other electives and this was all that was left. And she said he tried to freak her out by pulling out a little pocket knife, and he slid his arm from his elbow to his shoulder while he was standing there with her. Anyway, she said this was a very troubled young man, and she said to make a long story short, he stayed in the class for the whole year, and she said he was totally turned around. So, yes, we're seeing wonderful things.
Well, it's been said that faith comes from hearing, and hearing from the Word of God. And of course, here's a wonderful way to do something that the ACLU and those people who hate God, really would despise. But there really is, in my estimation, a conspiracy against Christianity, or this conspiracy against God. When we've recognized that, then we have to figure within the limitations that we have what we can do until we can get, of course, the American people up in arms and get rid of those turkeys that we have on the Supreme Court who were put there, not because, they were legal authorities, but because they'd go along with this charade. The best way to destroy a great nation is to destroy its religious foundation. Destroy the religious foundation, you destroy the nation. That's what the Anti-Christian Lawyer Union is really all about, and People for the American Way and so many of the other organizations out there. Well, we're going to be back in just a moment with Elizabeth Ridenour. And if you would like to give us a call, our telephone number, 1-800-259-5791. That's 1-800-259-5791. I think this is a great idea. I think it's a great program. And I think we ought to be very, very grateful to Elizabeth and those people who work with her, Chuck Norris and the others, for doing what they're doing.
Order a copy of this show for your friends and family at GCNLive.com or call 877-300-7645.
Hi, Michelle. I haven't seen you on the bus for a while. Did they change your shift?
No, Lori. I finally quit my job. I'm working at home now, and I love it. No more commuting. And I'm home when the kids get out of school.
Working at home? Doing what?
It's a long story. It all started when I discovered the website earnmoneyathome123.com.
Oh, Michelle, you didn't fall for one of those internet deals, did you?
Well, I looked into several, and this one is for real.
Are you sure?
I didn't quit my job until I was sure, and now I'm making way more money working at home.
Really?
I've joined the success team in their major advertising co-op. Our business is fully automated, which gives me more money and the time to enjoy it. I'll be earning money while we're skiing this winter.
What was that website again?
EarnMoneyAtHome123.com. Here, write it down.
Good idea. EarnMoneyAtHome123.com. Maybe we can go skiing this winter, too.
EarnMoneyAtHome123.com is a global opportunity.
Hello, folks. Alex Jones here, introducing Prudent Places USA, an interactive CD book that is your premier resource for hard-to-find information. Find out about everything from job migration to evacuation information, such as major bridges in disrepair and FEMA evacuation time studies for coastal cities. Zero in on man-made disaster zones, environmental areas of concern, and natural disaster zones. Find out everything from where to get water in an emergency to geographic income levels. Housing prices, complete with over 3 gigabytes of detailed information on the 3,000-plus counties in the U.S., full-color photographs, 550 high-resolution full-color maps, and detailed information and analysis that you need. Order Prudent Places USA now for only $29 plus shipping by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438 and tell them Alex Jones sent you. That's 888-803-4438 or order online at BerkeyWater.com.
We at The Bible Says want to alert the world to the topic of the Mark of the Beast. Soon it will be upon us as an overwhelming surprise. The world is pressing toward a forced one-world religion. The real issue behind this is the union of church and state nullifying our First Amendment. Americans will have to give up their peculiar beliefs and accept what the new world religious leaders prescribe. In 2005, President Bush signed the Real ID Act, which goes into effect May 11, 2008. Many people believe that this will be the mark of the beast because of the restrictive measures included, which seems to parallel the no buying and selling of Revelations 13:17. In Revelations 14:9, speaking of the mark of the beast, it says, "If any man worship the beast, take notice." It says, "Worship the beast." This issue is about worship, not economics. For a better understanding of this very important topic and to receive your 3 free books and a free DVD, call 1-888-211-1715. That's 1-888-211-1715.
Well, Dr. Stan back here at the Genesis Communication Network. Our guest is Elizabeth Ridenour, and our telephone number is 1-800-259-5791. That's 1-800-259-5791. And before we get to Patrick, who's calling us from Kentucky, Elizabeth, one more time, let's get your website and your telephone number out.
Sure. The website is www.bibleinschools.net. That's B-I-B-L-E-I-N. schools.net, and the toll-free number is 1-877-ON-BIBLE.
All right, fine. Well, let's go to Patrick, who is calling us from Kentucky, and again, our number 1-800-259-5791 if you have a question or comment. Hi, Patrick. How you doing?
Oh, I'm doing better. Really good show. I had
Two questions and comments. I guess I can go ahead and do it now.
We'll just ask one question. We'll answer it. Then we'll give you the next question. We'll answer it. Then you give us a comment. Okay.
Okay. Are there more Catholic atheists or more Protestant atheists?
Well, you can't be a Catholic or Protestant and really be an atheist, so I think.
Well, coming from those backgrounds, are there more atheists coming from Catholic backgrounds or more atheists coming from Protestant backgrounds? Because it seems more Catholic background to me.
I don't have any thoughts on that. Do you have, Elizabeth?
I do not know.
Okay,
I don't know about
anything
that.
Anything else there? Well, the thing is, Patrick, you have to understand that the Catholic Church really has been under tremendous attack recently, or really probably for the last 20 years. Everything done to just undermine the faith of the Catholic people. And by undermining their faith, you know, in the structure of the Church, they're destroying their belief in God. And that, of course, is the real tragedy of what's going on. I mean, many of us might disagree with some of the tenets of the Church and the hierarchy and all of these things, but you know, what they're really aimed at destroying these people's belief in the divinity of Jesus Christ, which many Catholics uphold. So the Catholic Church has been under attack for a long period of time, but then so has the Protestant Church. Anyway, what's your second question?
Well, I went to a Methodist college, the last college I attended, Kentucky Wesleyan, a Methodist college, and I took a course on Intro to Old Testament, and I was doing a research paper, this was a long time ago, on the Babylonian captivity, and I wasn't allowed to use any references toward Josephus, the historian, because he wasn't considered,
That's rather foolish, because after all, Josephus and many of the other people who were not Christians,
right,
they certainly were historians, and they give us a great deal of understanding of what was really transpiring at that time. So some people are so heavenly minded, they're no earthly good.
Uh-huh.
Do you have any comments on that, Elizabeth? That's a little out of your field of expertise.
I think a lot of the universities, whatever they do teach in terms of the Bible, is usually such liberal theology, and liberal theology is just humanism using theological terms. So,
and I really think that, Patrick, they've infiltrated most of our universities, and they've put people into these various positions of the universities not to bring people to a personal relationship with our Lord, but to destroy their faith in Christianity. And boy, they can sure do it. You get a good teacher in there, he can raise all those questions. And if you're not smart enough and well founded in your faith, they'll destroy everything you believe in. So did you have a comment, Patrick?
Right. Well, I was raised, you know, Baptist, and of course, you know, going to a Methodist school, that comes from my mom's side. You know, they're more what you would call liberal. I don't like to use that term liberal for rubber stamp liberal. I think it's a misuse of the term when you go into classical liberal. But
right.
I just Methodists, you know, they get way too far left, and they do have a lot of, you know, some really far left people, you know, in their colleges. But
sure.
There was an interesting show last night on Nightline about atheists and these people that have a radio show that are just blatantly atheists. And I've dealt with that a lot in my life with former friends, and there's nothing you can do. You cannot minister to these kinds of people.
And most of them are really pretty miserable. Do you have any thoughts at all, Elizabeth, on what Patrick's saying before we let him go?
Well, I agree totally with you, with what you said. And I tell you, we've had our project was intended for public schools, and that's what we've developed this for. However, we've had people that homeschool, private schools, military academies, schools for problem children, alternative schools, you name it, that have called and ordered this. So if there are people that doing Bible studies, or, you know, even for homeschoolers, et cetera, that would like to take this course if they didn't get what they were looking for in college, we're certainly able to help them with that also.
Okay, fine. Anything else, Patrick, before we let you go?
I'll be glad to check out your website, and maybe I can get a devotional.
All right, fine. Maybe you can get it in one of the schools in your area there. Anyway, God bless. Thanks so much. Our telephone number again, 1-800-259-5791. And I think we have to realize that young people need to have a foundation. And you can't just say to young people, well, you decide what's right and wrong. As I was struggling a little earlier to come up with a word, what we're indoctrinating our young people is in this concepts of relativism. And, you know, rather than there are certain rules, and if you follow those rules, why, your life will be happy and productive, it's, well, you make your decision yourself. Well, what 15 or 16-year-old young person is intelligent enough to make the right decisions? They need some framework, some basis, you know, to build their life on, and there's no better framework than the scaffold of the Bible.
Well, we're told by principals and teachers that all of the other worldviews are already being taught in the public schools, and as we mentioned earlier, a lot of them are mandatory. The secular humanist worldview, Marxist-Leninist, New Age, all of that material is already in there. What has not been in there for a long time has been the biblical Christian worldview.
And I'm sure the other side is just furious because they don't ever want the other side to be heard. They realize that their views are just totally fallacious. They will not hold up under scrutiny. And if you can really reach young people with the truth and get them thinking, they will recognize that the other thing positions are a lie. So I really applaud you for what you're doing. And how long have you been at this now, Elizabeth?
Let's see, this went into our first school district about 12 years ago. And again, I want to reiterate, it's not a world religions course. This is a course strictly on the Bible.
And, of course, there are these others on world religions. And, of course, when you get into that, then you can use that to undermine the belief in the Bible.
You've got it.
And these people are really, they're downright diabolical. They hate the Bible, they hate Christianity, they hate God, and they will do everything. The battle is for the minds of our youth. And I really applaud you for having the courage to go ahead and do this.
Yeah, who was it that Hitler went after? He went after the youth.
Sure.
Yeah. So I was listening during the commercial about your book that was being advertised. It sounds wonderful. I'm going to be ordering a copy tomorrow.
Okay, I hope you will. Well, we try to get people to begin to understand that behind everything going on, there are powerful spiritual forces that are intent upon changing and transforming the world, but not for the better.
Well, we've got to make ourselves knowledgeable. We're in those end times of deception.
Amen, the
deception's great out there. So the more we can understand and learn, like what your book is teaching, the better off we'll be.
Well, my telephone number is 1-800-259-5791. That's 1-800-259-5791. And if you're out there, have a question or comment for Elizabeth, why, you know, I'm sure she'd love to answer it. And certainly, the other side is very well organized. They're very well financed. I mean, they have the richest of our foundations behind them. And I'm just so tickled that you've been able to get some funding for what you do, because, you know, I find the position that upholds the traditional Christianity, it's pretty hard sometimes to get funding to do that.
Sure. Well, we sure need all the help we can get. But,
Lord's
been taking care of us.
Well, D. James Kennedy does a great job, and we're certainly very grateful for his ministry. And certainly Chuck Morris is certainly, Chuck Norris, I should say. You know, he and his wife are certainly exemplary citizens. And how long has Chuck been a Christian? Do you have any idea?
He said his mother brought him up as a young man, as a boy, as a Christian. I know he and Gina were married, gosh, how long ago was that? I'm trying to think how long they've been working with us. Maybe 5 years ago, or 5 or 6 years ago. And, boy, they are solid, sold out for the Lord. I mean, it's just wonderful, wonderful people.
Well, you know, you wonder how any Christian could survive there in Hollywood, but I suppose doing the sort of things he did, and you know, the acrobatics he did, why he wasn't into the politics. So many of the people there in Hollywood are dedicated liberals now. Really, they're just confused, mixed up people. They need the Lord, of course. Everybody needs the Lord. But we really need to pray for a lot of those people in Hollywood, David.
Absolutely.
They need it more than others.
Yeah, and actually the Norrises now are living in Dallas.
Right.
So, but I agree with you totally.
Well, certainly this is a program now. Certainly, you say you've had over, what, 100-some-odd thousand young people have gone through this?
Yes, we've already had over 185,000 students take the course nationwide. It's been voted into various school districts in 37 states. It's in about 1,350 high schools. We've never been legally challenged. Of course, ACLU and People for the American Way and the other liberal operatives and groups hate what we're doing, and they try every angle possible, but they have not been able to slow us down, and we've never been legally challenged. So we're real pleased with that record. Hello?
Yes, I think you've touched all the bases. It's not compulsory. I think that's one of the most important things, and it's a voluntary thing. But, of course, you're not preaching Christianity. You're just teaching it as part of history. And, of course, you can't understand history unless you understand the part that Christianity played, not only in the foundation of America, but, of course, the establishment of our republic here in the United States. How can you possibly understand why the Pilgrims came to America, or why the Quakers came to America, or why the Puritans came to America, unless you understand the history of the Christian Church?
Well, sure, and the Pilgrims said when they were coming here that they wanted the students, the children, to learn to read so that they could study the Bible. You know, the Bible is so viable as an academic source of study. If you look at it on its academic merits, it was written over 1,500 years, 40 authors from all walks of life, a wide variety of backgrounds, over 40 generations from Asia, Africa, and Europe. It's presented in Hebrew, Aramaic, and in Greek. Best-selling book of all time. Can you even imagine people, school districts, trying to keep it out? You know, it's almost ridiculous that we went for these number of years without the Bible being taught in the public schools.
Well, I'm really encouraged that you've been able to get the school boards to go along with that. And but then I think, of course, it's your work, and then it's the work of concerned parents and certainly people who've been willing just to pick up and run with this. And really, I'm so amazed that I had not heard more about this. The only time I've ever heard about it is really from you.
Right, it's moving out there. Well, Barrett Schoess, I believe she's on your program a lot.
Oh yeah, Barrett's a sweetheart.
Yeah, Barrett's been helping us for years, and then Dr. Dennis Cuddy, I believe you have him on frequently.
We have Dennis on every week.
Yeah, Dennis helps us a lot, and of course Dennis has got a very strong background in education. We have great people working with us. You mentioned Dr. D. James Kennedy. He's on our advisory board, has been for about 9 years. We're getting ready to be with him at his conference in Fort Lauderdale. And by the way, people need to be praying for him. I guess you know he's had a heart attack.
No, I didn't.
And he's still in the hospital, so he needs people's prayers. But we have tremendous people working with us. You remember Jane Russell, the actress?
Sure. the outlaw. I'll never forget the outlaw. Howard Hughes, the outlaw.
Yes, she's been working with us for a long time. Gosh, we've got so much going on. We've got this 300-page curriculum. We've just added a teacher's companion guide to go with it to make it really easy for the teachers, and that's getting rave reviews. And we're developing the curriculum on CD-ROM. We're working on a national television program that will be airing soon on a lot of networks, and things are looking good.
Well, I'll tell you what, Elizabeth, I think I'm so impressed, really, after talking to you. I want you to give me a call here first of next week. We'll get you on both our early morning and our late night program, if you're game to do it, and so you can talk to those other audiences, and I hope that many of the people out there across America who listen to this program, you know, will give serious consideration to getting in touch, getting more information on this, and then getting to their school board and suggesting what a wonderful elective to offer to the children. Because, of course, children without a solid biblical foundation are like a ship at sea in the middle of a storm.
Yes, we've had people that work on it call and thank us for making it so simple, for keeping it simple. We've had people call and say, I've never done anything like this before. I've never thought I could approach a school board, et cetera. And they whizzed right on through it. You know, we were silent back in 1963 when the Bible was removed from our schools. We've got an open door now. The law's on our side. The school boards actually are looking for something like this. They just need to know it's legal, which we give them. We give the school boards all the legal information. They're thrilled. That's why 94% of the school boards approached have put this in. And we can't be silent like we were in 1963 when the Bible was removed, because mere silence endorses the worst of the alternatives. So if your listeners can call us on our toll-free number, we'll be glad to help them find out how to get the information and how to get this into their school districts, and we'll do everything we can to help them.
Yeah, one more time, the telephone number.
It's a toll-free number, 1-877-ON-BIBLE, and the website is BibleInSchools.net, and we also have on our website the commercials by Chuck and Gina Norris and Dean Jones, the actor, and other folks on there. And then we have a section for the students. As I said, high school students can also run with this and get this in their school districts.
And the other thing is, of course, that you're providing, or you have lawyers who've offered to provide to defend the school districts if something comes up, which I'm sure is a real advantage for the school districts.
Absolutely. We have tremendous legal entities behind us.
Well, the other side of bullies, I mean, they have an agenda. They try to frighten people. I think it's time we quit being frightened. We stood up for what's righteous. Elizabeth, thank you so very much for being with us. It's been a real pleasure. And please give me a call maybe the first next week, and we'll get you on other programs as well.
I sure will, and thank you for helping us get the word out.
God bless. Bye-bye.
God bless you. Bye-bye. Okay.
And that was Elizabeth Reitenauer. And I think it's a great idea. See, we got a lot of great things going our way. We got Ron Paul running for president. We have a growing awareness, even among many of the liberals, that something's seriously wrong. We've got the answers, and you need to help us get them out. We'll be back in just a moment.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll-free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
The Berkey Security Pack is your one-stop solution for unexpected emergencies. It provides you with purified water, light, power, and communications ability. The Security Pack includes a Berkey Light water purifier, an LED base, two Berkey Sport filtration bottles, the Berkey battery adapter, the Berkey MP solar charger, as well as a backup set of two Black Berkey purification elements. The Berkey Security Pack is important every day and a must during emergencies because it provides purified water, long-term low-energy lighting, backup battery power for your Berkey LEDs, free long-term solar power for communications devices such as radios, walkie-talkies, and cell phones, as well as power for small applications. Get the one-stop solution for your emergency and everyday needs. The Berkey Security Pack, a retail value of $518 for only $399 by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. Not yet available in Iowa.
I found this company online, and they had this really unique variety of salt wellness products. I read some of the articles and ended up ordering this beautiful salt lamp. According to the company, they said that the salt crystal lamps gently purify indoor air. I was so amazed. I put it in the baby's room, and it made a perfect nightlight. Both my husband and I could tell the difference.
SoleWellness.com is a unique company that offers salt wellness products from around the world.
So, I went back to the site and ordered their Soleil Simple Natural Cleaning Products, also made with Himalayan salt, I figured it would clean really well. The natural cleaning products worked wonderfully, and there was no scent. This company has so many products my whole family can enjoy and feel better with. Plus, the service was great.
If you're interested in natural, homeopathic, time-tested remedies, visit soleywellness.com. That's S-O-L-A-Y wellness.com. Or call 312-224-2710. 312-224-2710.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at the Genesis Communication Network, and I hope you enjoyed our conversation. It really, if you don't understand why they took God and prayer out of our schools, you need to get my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. And, of course, you can get the book, the video, the DVD, you can get the audio tape, or you get at least three of them together for the Brotherhood of Darkness special. You need to understand that the Supreme Court justices were placed into the Supreme Court because they were Masons, and the purpose of Masonry is to destroy the Christian foundation of this country, because at the top of Masonry are people who worship a different God. And when you understand that, and you get our material on Masonry, and you read what the Masons really say, remember, most Masons do not understand Masonry, but the people at the top do. And they're involved in the study of the Arcanum and the Ancanorum. The secret and the secret of secrets. And there is a secret. It's been out there for a long time. But, of course, you're not being heard about it. You need, of course, to get the DVD we carry, The Secret Mysteries of America's Beginning. And I'm actually in that one. That's The Secret Mysteries of America's Beginning. But you'll find it a fascinating drama documentary. It actually got the New York Film Festival Award for the best historical documentary of the year last year. And, of course, the new volume will be coming out here, set in stone, about our nation's capital. The one story they don't want you to know. Do you know that every major federal building in this country has a Masonic plaque on it? They've claimed this country. They've directed our country. And, of course, we get into the Council on Foreign Relations and other organizations like that. But they have the same root as Masonry, because certainly the two of the originals, four people who created the secret society, which eventually became the Council on Foreign Relations, that would be Cecil Rhodes and Lord Milner. Both of them were into Masonry, as were the people who financed this whole entire incredible movement, well covered in a book called Tragedy and Hope, A History of the World in Our Time, and certainly in my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. You need to get the new book we're carrying now called Satanic Crimes. That's Satanic Crimes. You need to get our four tape set on the Skull and Bones, or our four tape set on the Bohemian Grove. And if I could suggest, we do carry the Alex Jones excellent DVD. There are actually two various programs on this DVD, and you get them both for the same price. It's known as The Dark Secrets of the Bohemian Grove. And it's put out by Alex Jones. We recommend this. You'll actually see the ceremonies. You'll understand the pagan nature. And, of course, there really are people who do put on their black hoods and robes, and they have pagan ceremonies and feigned human sacrifices. Well, at least we assume they're feigned human sacrifices. And these are the leaders of the world, the presidents, and they're running around naked. And naked? Yeah, you'd be amazed. In fact, if you listen to our four tape set, interviews with Kathy O'Brien, was that there was a sex slave that compromised the leaders of our country. So our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. And ask for the four tape set on the Bohemian Grove, and then the DVD, The Dark Secrets of the Bohemian Grove. So. And then, of course, one of the things we've started carrying is Adderall. It's an iodine compound. You know, the average Japanese eat about 12.5 milligrams of iodine a day. We get about 12.5 micrograms of iodine a day. And certainly the body needs iodine. They've taken it out of our bread. They've taken it out of our milk. They've taken it out of about half the salt. Why would they do something like that and then add fluoride to the drinking water to compete with in the thyroid, because, of course, if you get fluoride into your thyroid, you're going to get a hypothyroid and you won't be very smart. It affects your mind. Why would they do something like that? We carry Iodorol. And, of course, along with that, magnesium and selenium, you need these things. You need to learn what you need to do to protect your health. You listen to our programs, you're going to learn how. A bit like a health catalog. But if you'd like to order the Adderall, the magnesium, the selenium, or all the other things, our number 1-800-544-8927. Why don't you give us a call right now?
Hello, folks. This is Alex Jones introducing you to the incredible...
You're listening to the Global Star Radio Network, located at Telstar 5 KU band, frequency 11836, symbol rate 20770. Thank you for listening.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing in the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Christian civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And of course, we hope that you'll remember that the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views and the views of our guests. And also let me mention that if you live in Southern California and you're listening to this program, I will be speaking at the Granada Forum in Tarzana tomorrow evening at 7 o'clock. That's tomorrow evening at the Granada Forum in Tarzana. But with that as the background, our special guest this afternoon is Joel Skousen from World Affairs Brief. Hi, Joel. How are you doing?
I'm just fine, Dr. Stan. Good to be with you.
Well, it's always good to have you here. And so what are we going to talk about this afternoon?
Well, the lead story is a little different this week in the World Affairs Brief. We're going to go back and take a look at the JFK assassination and see how the investigation has progressed in the past several decades. As I've often made the point, when we're talking about government cover-ups, where they use threats, real and implied, to various people who saw too much during the actual sloppy execution of the assassination, these people tend to come out more and more from the woodwork over the years. They have more courage. Sometimes they get near death. Sometimes other people who are threatening them die, and so they feel like they're free to talk. And since the mid-1990s, two very dramatic things have come forth in the JFK assassination, which have dramatically, I think, altered the course of events. The government is still working hard at suppressing this information, even though the assassination has largely died in the public consciousness. But the two, I think, biggest breakthroughs that have happened in the 1990s were the uncovering of, one, a major CIA and mafia go-between, which went public and 8 days before he died. His name was Chauncey Holt. He tape-recorded and videoed, had let himself be videoed, giving testimony of his involvement in providing arms and false Secret Service IDs to a group of people involved in this assassination. And the biggest revelation of all came from the uncovering and videotaping of the testimony of the man who actually shot JFK. His name was James Files, and so these are dramatic testimonies, and they're available now to the public.
Yes, I know. Certainly James Files, I think, has become a Christian. I think he's repentant. He'll be in prison the rest of his life. And they did everything they could to keep him from coming forward and admitting that he was part of this CIA assassination team there on the grassy knoll.
Well, you know, I've looked at the video, compliments of William Dunkbar, who is the head and chief operator of the new website, or it's been up for quite a while now, JFKMurderSolved.com. Let me repeat that website again, JFKMurderSolved.com. He has both the video of Chauncey Holt and James Files there, which people can purchase, and I have seen them. I'll give a review, I guess, after the break.
All right, fine. Well, in fact, down in Dallas, Texas, I went to, there's a place there where they have a lot of information. They have a filmed interview with Jack Ruby, who's talking to the members of the Warren Commission, saying, "Get me out of here, and I'll tell you what really happened. Just get me out of here." And suddenly he developed cancer, and he upped and died before they ever had a chance to get him out of there. Isn't that convenient? Well, our guest is Joel Skousen. Joel, pick the story up, please. Oh, well, for our listeners here, Joel Skousen is the editor of World Affairs Brief, and he's talking about the new information that's come out concerning the assassination of John Fitzgerald Kennedy back in 1963. And, of course, one person who was on his deathbed actually had been a courier working with the CIA and others, and just a week or so before he died, he allowed himself to be videotaped. He told it what had happened. The other, of course, is an interview with Jimmy Files, who was actually the man who killed Kennedy, standing on the grassy knoll, of course, working for the mafia. So pick the story up there, Joel, please.
Well, as I reviewed both of the videotaped testimony of James Files and Chauncey Holt, I have for many years developed an ability to see when someone's faking it, especially when it comes to conspiracy theories. There are a lot of bogus theories out there mixed in with the credible ones just to muddy the waters. And one of the things that a person can tell right off when a person claims too much, or when a person is faking it, is they claim too much. They claim to know too much. When they're on our side, I mean, even when someone who would have been involved in the assassination, if he had tried to say on the interview, either Chauncey Holt or Jimmy Files had tried to tell the whole story from A to Z, who was in charge of the conspiracy, everybody involved, then I would have known it was a fake. Because everything in a conspiracy is compartmentalized so that very few people know the big picture. Very, very few. And the people who are at the shooter level or at the execution level are never the ones in the know of everything. And true to form, both of these interviews have that telltale sign of veracity because, first of all, they don't pause to think. They don't pause to catch their words. They're rattling off this information without thinking. They have this stuff down pat. They don't try to tell too much. They stick to only what they know, only what they were involved in, and they name names. They name names so that it's verifiable, it's checkable. And the good thing about these two videos, they have narrations with them that break them up to show how William Dankbar and his crew, this is following on the work of Joe Webb, who died in the middle of his investigation. He was going to have the body of JFK exhumed. And examined because Jimmy Files said that he used special 222 rounds, which are high-powered rifle bullets, put into a long-barreled special handgun.
Hold that thought, I'll be right there. All right, fine. Well, certainly Joel was just saying that he is convinced that these two witnesses, two people who knew about the assassination of John Fitzgerald Kennedy, are telling the truth because they didn't tell too much. They didn't hesitate when they were talking. And of course, they named names. And, of course, apparently somebody was trying to get the body of JFK exhumed because Jimmy Files had said he'd used a very, very special type of... it was sort of an explosive bullet, wasn't it, Joel?
No, it was a hollowed-out 222 bullet, which was filled with mercury. And apparently, it would have, when it explodes under high pressure like that, it shatters mercury throughout the skull. And that mercury would have still been in there even after the autopsy. And so that's the reason they wanted it exhumed, and Job Webb was mysteriously died of complications of a heart attack just right after he was recovering and feeling fine.
We find that happens so often to people who are an embarrassment to the establishment. They have a mysterious heart attack or a pulmonary embolism or a car accident or something like that, and then they're no longer a problem. There were over 100 people who were affiliated with a JFK investigation who died under mysterious circumstances. And my friend Craig Roberts wrote a book about that. I think there were well over 100 people. They all just died mysteriously. How could that have happened by accident?
Well, especially when you look at some of the specific circumstances. The number of people involved not testifying about what they saw in the autopsy room, the operating room. For example, there was a Navy officer who was present in the autopsy room, and he apparently kept photographs and copies of the x-rays of everything that went on there, and he was planning on revealing that. And there was an actual witness, a Colonel David Martin, who was revealed later on just in the past few years that he was tasked by the CIA to kill this man because they couldn't get those files from him, even though they had robbed his house and tried to find them. He was ordered to kill him, and when he found out that, and he was part of a special operations squad that normally did these kinds of assassinations overseas, but he had a fit of conscience and said, I can't do that. It's illegal for me to do that inside the United States, even working for you. And so he refused to do it. He names the name of the person who ordered him to do so. They found someone else, apparently, and of course it came out predictably. They control many medical examiners in major cities, and right a day after the death of this person by a gunshot wound, they ruled it a suicide.
And of course, that was a Lieutenant Commander Spitzer who was the one.
That's right.
Right.
That's right.
And of course, it was Lieutenant Colonel Daniel Marvin, who we've had as a guest many times, who tells the story that he was actually asked by the CIA to kill Lieutenant Commander Spitzer, and I'd stake my life on what Colonel Marvin says. I've talked to him many times, and
he's very credible.
He really is.
Well, that's what strikes you about the video. Now, in the video on James Files, where it's interviewing the FBI agent who started this new investigation because he found out through the FBI that, the government has, and this comes through both of these videotape interviews, the government always has had major dealings with the mafia. And this is not just a relationship of convenience, as many people assume, or rogue agents here and there, getting them to find out what's going on in the underworld. This is a very, very close relationship where mafia hitmen, these two that were interviewed, both Jimmy Files and Chauncey Holt, were working for both the mafia and the CIA most of their lives. In other words, and both parties knew that they were working for both parties. And this is just too much of a coincidence that you have two major hitmen involved in the deaths of both mafia people and carrying out CIA tasks involved with assassinations, attempts on Fidel Castro, etc., that this is just not a marriage of convenience. These people work on the inside of both organizations, and I'm not saying that there's a direct one controls the other, but this is clearly a very interesting relationship of convenience. But
well, we actually carry a book entitled Dangerous Alliance. No, it's called Double Cross. It's written by the brother of the head of the mafia, Chuck Giancana, was Sam Giancana's brother. And we still carry that book. It's still available through Radio Liberty. And he tells you how the CIA worked closely with his brother, Sam Giancana. The double cross was the belief that eventually, even though Sam Giancana had done all these murders for the CIA, that the CIA had eventually killed Sam Giancana. That was the double cross. But go right ahead.
Well, and Sam Giancana was very much involved in the JFK assassination. In essence, the mafia did a lot of the legwork for this. The overall operation, though, was handled by the CIA. Now, when I say this, I want to point out one of the major deficits of any JFK assassination team, no matter how honest and sincere. There are two major deficits. One is that almost all, without exception, come from the left. They are fans of JFK. And so they are convinced that JFK was a good guy and that he was, in fact, betrayed by right-wing people who hated them. Right-wing people, mafia, military-industrial complex, right-wing military, right-wing CIA. That's the format. That's the general mindset that they come from. Now, the second deficiency that almost all JFK assassination researchers have is that they fail to distinguish between the dark side of the CIA and the white side, the dark side of the FBI and the white side. There are clearly good and legal activities of the CIA and the FBI and the DEA and the INS. And then there's a dark side. We've talked about this on your program many times. And they think, the assassination researchers coming from the left and being fans of JFK, think that all of the CIA is evil, all of the FBI is evil, that the entire government is run by right-wing radicals, and that's why they killed someone like JFK. And it simply isn't true. It's much more complex than that, and it has to do with overall control by this globalist philosophy, and that's why they miss consistently the major reason I believe JFK was killed. Now, it is true that the people who actually were picked to pull the trigger on JFK were no fan of JFK. It's true that the mafia did not like JFK, and more particularly his brother Robert F. Kennedy. But we have to ask the question, though. It isn't so much a question of whether or not they simply wanted JFK eliminated. We have our own government facilitating this, calling up on the mafia, arranging with the mafia, coordinating with the mafia, and then covering up afterwards. In other words, just because the actual hitmen didn't like JFK doesn't mean that that's why JFK died. JFK died, let's be very frank about it, because the powers that be, the controller government, wanted him eliminated. And this conspiracy that is involved in government is still alive today. It was involved in the Martin Luther King assassination. Now, you can make the case, though the one accused of actual shooting Martin Luther King was a patsy, just like Oswald was a patsy. There were other shooters. They were all mafia/FBI shooters that were involved in that. But if anything is more particular about that it has in common is that the government had something to be gained by the death of all three of these. In other words, by the martyr effect. Even though these people were very useful to the establishment, two of the three, at least, well, actually all three, but two of the three were just notorious womanizers. JFK with celebrities bedding them almost nightly in the White House, and Martin Luther King with his prostitutes. And this is something that, of course, has been amply documented by the white side of the FBI, sealed up in the vaults of the National Archive for 50 years just because they don't want the public to know that their hero, Martin Luther King, was a notorious, hypocrite. But that's not the essence of what I'm trying to make the case. What I'm making the case is that they were able to gain 10 years on the civil rights movement by killing the symbol of the civil rights movement and making a martyr out of him. They were able to advance the cause of socialism in the United States by killing Kennedy and making a martyr out of him. The Great Society program, which Kennedy had in Congress, was failing miserable and would never have passed, at least not for another 10 years. He died, and instantly every one of those things passed. JFK, or RFK, was killed because of, in part, because they were able to get a gun control bill passed, which they would never have done. Now, that's kind of worked itself out now. It's very hard, even with the killing of an important person, to get gun control, because people know now that it's just a very bad thing for society. But in those days, it worked, and they are capable and ruthless in using the killing of important people to make them martyrs to advance a more important ideological cause. Now, both JFK and Martin Luther King would have been exposed eventually for all of the womanizing that they were doing and the hypocrisy and using the White House as a brothel. And of course, it goes on today, went on with Bill Clinton. But in those days, it would have had major repercussions and would have demeaned, if they couldn't cover it up, it would have demeaned those reputations and made them lose effectiveness. So I think there's a larger theory explaining these things, and it has to do with the globalism, the powers that be that are using war today and terrorism to further this agenda.
Well, I think it's so hard for people to believe that something like this could be so vast and covered up, but I would simply ask why it is that even today, many of the papers and files dealing with the assassination of John Fitzgerald Kennedy are still sealed. They're classified. Very difficult and many times impossible to get. Why would that be? Is it that we don't want Lee Harvey Oswald to know what happened, or his widow, or is it they cannot let the American people know the truth about how they killed an American president and got away with it? Well, Joe, go ahead with the story.
Well, so my basic take on this is that, first of all, this is a very, very important historical document that's available for everyone to have, and I think they should have it in their archives. So I'm recommending that people go to JFK Murder Solved, jfkmurdersolved.com, and order these two videos. It's just very, very important. Now, you know, the nice thing about an honest investigation is that, you know, even though they present at the beginning of the James Files video testimony the reasons why they think that they killed him, you know, the mafia and the CIA and the military-industrial complex, you still get all of the essential core information where you can draw your own conclusions. The one thing that comes up very closely in these two videos is that there is a seamless relationship between the dark side of the CIA and the mafia. And there is also a great deal of evidence in the James Files video showing about the cover-up of the United States government, especially when we're talking about the murder of Lieutenant Commander Spitzer. But on the left-hand side of the website is a whole list, a wealth of information that you can click on. The list, there's a one about 10% down the list is something for the beginner, and that's where one ought to start. But it gives a tremendous amount of background information. There's a wealth of many volumes that have been written about the JFK assassination, and it's all very important to understand relative to the degree at which our government would go to cover up something that they did. And, of course, it was a little bit sloppy in many regards, and there is some disinformation floating around. One of the major things you'll see on the videos is the concept that the CIA had tried to block the assassination at the last minute. I, in fact, don't believe that. I think, in fact, that that was just a cover in case it got out, that the people who would testify, and that's what they ended up doing on the video, that the CIA was exonerated because they had tried to stop it. And Jimmy Files said that John Cunha just said, no, I'm not stopping. We're going to go ahead with this. And, you know, there's a lot of little things that went on during the assassination like that. The CIA telling JFK that you got to have the bulletproof bubble top on this. And the more they argued, knowing that JFK would resist because of the ego factor of wanting to be personable with the people, as was his particular habit. And so, but it ended up being a cover for them so that they could argue that why would we want him killed if we argued for the bubble top? Well, they had this thing pretty well psychologically profiled that they know the more that they suggested, the more, and JFK had always been resistant to the bubble top. That's the whole purpose of taking a caravan, is that you can go out and press the flesh and see the people in person. And then to put the bubble top on it would have looked very bad in JFK's eyes, and so he obviously... But you see, all of the things they went to have probable deniability was very, very interesting.
I think the most interesting thing was there were so many possible explanations. It was the communists in Russia. It was Fidel Castro. It was the mafia. It was, certainly a dissident groups of anti-Castro people who were behind it. all of these possible explanations, all designed to confuse us. Have you run into that?
Oh, yes. And in fact, you see, there's multiple levels of truth. For example,
Hold that thought for just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Sydney, Joel was just talking about how, Sydney, there are many, many potential explanations for the assassination of John Kennedy, all designed to confuse you, each one with a little truth in it, but, of course, each one, of course, designed to throw you off the track. So you can't think clearly about what's going on. We see the same thing happening as far as what happened on 9/11. So many possible explanations, everything done to confuse us. Pick up the story there, Joel.
Well, yes, as I was saying, there's various levels of truth. Yes, the mafia was involved. Yes, the CIA was involved. Yes, the anti-Cuban people were involved because the CIA was running the anti-Cuban portion, and the mafia was involved in supplying them as well. Oswald was involved. He was a CIA agent. He was controlled. And you have, by the way, on one of these videos, the testimony of the person who actually shot Officer Tippetts. He was trying to actually kill Oswald, he testified, and Tippetts got in the way. And so there's some very interesting things on these videos. But what I'm saying is that the important thing is to try to see the larger picture. We have the same conspiracy working today that killed Kennedy, and it isn't because they killed Kennedy. That didn't satisfy them. That wasn't their reason for being in the world. They killed Martin Luther King. It wasn't because they liked or disliked Martin Luther King. Martin Luther King was a tool in their arsenal of changing American legal structure. And what we lost in the civil rights movement is something akin to what was lost in the Civil War. What you lost in the Civil War is the right to secede if the government became tyrannical. We became no better than the Soviet Union after the Civil War in the sense that, you know, it was indivisible. No matter how tyrannical, it became indivisible. After the Civil Rights Movement, you lost the right of discrimination. And discrimination is a fundamental right. I'm not talking about race or anything else. Discrimination is the ability of people in a free market to decide not to do business, not to associate with anyone they want. That's an absolute fundamental right. In other words, whether it's right or wrong, people have to have the right to say, I don't want to deal with you. And we may disagree. We may decide not to deal with them because they don't want to deal with someone because of race. But the point is, everyone must have the right, it doesn't hurt anyone else, to say, I won't deal with you. Because no one has the right to force anyone to deal with them unless they've got a prior contract. We lost that with the civil rights movement, and it has been used again. In fact, I guess it was in England that it was just passed, or at least Parliament had just passed a law refusing to allow the Catholic Church to have an exception to the law that they passed in conjunction with this, that all adoption agencies must accept homosexual applicants and give them the same and put them right in line with anyone else. They are not allowed to discriminate against same-sex couples in adopting other children. And the Catholic Church has folded on this in England. They've threatened to shut down their counseling service. Now they're reconsidering, etc. But, you know, how would you feel if you were a Christian organization out there to help adopt children who were given to you for adoption by parents specifically because they trusted you, to put them into wholesome moral atmospheres, and that you would do so and be required by the government? And that's because of the same principle that we lost in the civil rights movement, the right to discriminate, the right to make choices that I will not rent to someone who is morally living a life that I find reprehensible. Do you understand what I'm...
Oh, yes, I think it's a very valid point. And certainly I abhor racial discrimination. But you're going to end racial discrimination by changing the hearts of men, not certainly by passing a new series of laws. Because those laws, every time you pass a law, you take away a little freedom. You pass enough laws, why, it's the end of all freedom. And that's what the tyrants want. They want a government that can control every aspect of thought and activity. They want to control the population, and that's why they hated the Constitution, because the power of the central government was to be limited by the change of the Constitution, and they hate the Constitution. There really are fascists out there, wealthy, powerful people who want to control each and every one of us from the cradle to the grave. Black, white, oriental, homosexual, doesn't matter. They use all these issues to further their goal.
And they also know, Dr. Stan, that that when you prohibit people from exercising the right of discrimination, you actually increase racial tensions. You increase tension between homosexuals and heterosexuals because they aren't free to separate themselves. Separation is very important. When you cannot reach an agreement on moral values between people, you need to have the right to form your own mini communities so that you don't have dealings with people that you find reprehensible.
And one of the reasons why we find anti-Semitism increasing in Europe and even increasing here in America, because it's coming to these crazy laws that we have. And of course, this actually creates increasing hatred rather than changing the hearts of men. We'll be back in just a moment here with Joel Skousen at the at Radio Liberty. Well, Joel, go right ahead there.
Well, I'm going to go on to a further extension of the concept that I've tried to present in this assassination piece, that the globalists who are trying to undermine our security and our sovereignty in this nation because they want to establish a new world order have a multifaceted front about them. And the same people who were involved in the JFK assassination, or at least in the cover-up in government, have risen to great heights in other ways within our government. Nothing is more representative of this than Senator Arlen Specter, who was one of the, I guess he was just the chief counsel to the Warren Commission. He was very much involved in feeding the magic bullet theory to Representative Gerald Ford before he became president. Gerald Ford served on the Warren Commission. Gerald Ford presented to the Warren Commission the magic bullet theory. I mean, it was so ludicrous. And you'll see the ballistic experts go through the magic bullet theory on the Jimmy Files video, and it is phenomenal how ridiculous it is. In any case, Will Bunch, who writes a column called Will Bunch Tonight, wrote a column called, quote, "The Decider and the Hypocrite." And this is a T2T between President Bush, who says, "I'm the decider," and Arlen Specter, who he's calling a hypocrite. Now, this is a liberal getting after Arlen Specter because he shows that Arlen Specter continues year after year to present the image of a conservative, that he attacks the administration, and his rhetoric is totally opposed to what he actually votes for in Congress. He attacks the war, but votes for the war. He attacks the president, but supports the president. He attacks the attorney general, but supports the attorney general. And he goes through a very interesting soliloquy between the two, and I want to point out some of these very interesting things. This is Will Bunch speaking. He says, "Senator Arlen Specter on Tuesday directly challenged President Bush's direct declaration that, quote, 'I am the decision maker. I am the decider on the issues of war.' Specter says, 'I would suggest respectfully to the president that he is not the sole decider. The decider is a shared and joint responsibility,' Specter said." In other words, he goes to the point that both Congress and the president have a shared responsibility about the war-making powers. Bunch then says, "You'll have to excuse us if our socks are not completely blown away by the comments made by our senator."
I want you to hold that thought for just a minute as we bring our other stations back on board here. And it's going to be just about right now. All right, fine. And so before we go on, Joel, I do want you to give out your telephone number and your website so people will know how to subscribe to the World Affairs Brief.
Well, the World Affairs Brief is my weekly news analysis. We're covering some of the things that I'll be talking about this Friday as I analyze the news. It's showcased on my website, www.worldaffairsbrief.com, where you get a daily listing of all the major news stories. get a lot of information about from my archives on the right-hand column of the website about these kinds of cover-ups we're talking today, everything from the JFK assassination to the 9/11 controversy and the Oklahoma City bombing and many others. People can get a free one-time sample of the World Affairs Brief, which, by the way, has a modest subscription price to support my work. But you can get a free sample to see what kind of information I put out by emailing me at editor@worldaffairsbrief.com. That's editor@worldaffairsbrief.com.
And let me just add that it is the most economical newsletter you'll find any place, and it is certainly one of the finest ones. I read it religiously every week when it comes in. That's World Affairs Brief, and let me recommend you go to their website and then subscribe to Joel's newsletter. Well, Joel was simply talking about Senator Arlen Specter. Now, Senator Arlen Specter is sold to the American people as a conservative. But he always votes liberal. In other words, he pretends to be a conservative, and he's very critical of President Bush and what he's doing and the way he's pursuing the war. But he votes for the war. He's certainly very critical of the surge of troops over there. But you know, he says one thing, he does another, because Senator Arlen Specter, back during the time of the Warren Commission report, was one of the assistant counsels on the Warren Commission who actually came up with the idea of the magic bullet, this incredible bullet, which went through President Kennedy and then through President Johnson and left all sorts of bullet fragments in Governor Connally's right wrist and Governor Connally's left thigh, and then immediately reconstituted itself and was found in pristine condition with hardly any marks even on it. Looked like it had been shot into a wad of cotton, and it was lying on the gurney there in the Parkland Hospital. Senator Arlen Specter deceived the American people and was well rewarded. At that time, he was simply a lawyer working for the Warren Commission. Today, he is Senator Arlen Specter. Pick up the story there, Joel.
So Will Bunch in his commentary says, "That's tough talk. Give me a break." He said, "We should be way beyond respectfully, disagreeing. This deep into Bush's six-year trampling of the Constitution, the Specter has done nothing to stop. What would we consider tough talk?" He says, "Check out these hard questions that new Virginia Senator Jim Webb is posing Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice." He says, "Number two, this is the most important reason. For 6 years, Specter has regularly said aggressive-sounding things about Bush and the congressional powers, and then has consistently done the complete opposite. Not only has Specter not blocked Bush from increasing his administration's ability to run roughshod over Congress or do things like eavesdrop on American citizens without warrants, but he has worked on key occasions to actually advance Bush's efforts. We have noted this quite recently, that last year Specter, quote, made last-minute changes to a bill that expanded the administration's power to install U.S. attorneys without Senate approval. Seizing upon the new authority granted by Congress last March, the White House has pushed out several U.S. attorneys and begun to replace them without the Senate's consent." That's all because of Arlen Specter. "That would be bad enough, but there's a lot more. Our colleague, Deborah Levy, a Daily News op-ed writer who once worked with Specter as a staffer on the Senate Judiciary Committee, picked apart Specter's record on other key constitutional issues. Maybe that satanic bargain explains why his courage failed just recently over the administration's bill on enemy combatants. Specter, a former DA who knows the meaning of the Constitution, saw that the bill gave the president unbridled power to designate anyone, even U.S. citizens, as, quote, enemy combatants, who could then be imprisoned indefinitely without charge or trial, as in the case of non-citizens, including illegal permanent residents. Specter called the bill patently unconstitutional on its face," unquote, before he voted for it, explaining he expected the federal courts, quote, "will clean it up." "Wait, there's more," he says. "Another recent example. When the story broke that President Bush had authorized the National Security Agency to conduct wiretaps of U.S. citizens and others without a warrant, Senator Specter expressed serious doubts about the program's legality and held Judiciary Committee hearings on the matter. It looked like Specter was standing up to the president. But never mind. After, quote, the negotiations with the administration, Specter introduced legislation authorizing massive wiretapping without court review, allowing a secret court the FISA court to issue secret rulings on the Constitution and any warrants, warrantless wiretapping the president saw fit to bring to it, and immunizing the executive branch against new criminal charges for any illegal wiretapping that might have been preceded the new law. So after all, it's supposed to be front page news that Specter, quote, respectfully, and suddenly isn't so sure it's such a good idea for the executive branch to grab all the power in the legislative from the legislative branch. But suddenly is when Democrats now run Congress and Bush's popularity is at record lows. As former, he goes on, but he says, well, this is just a whoop-de-doo fraud that the Democrats are really going to stop this president. They aren't going to stop him, he says. But they are making a lot of tough language. I heard today on National Public Radio another senator detailing specifically why the Congress had the power to stop this war in its tracks, why they could withdraw approval for any more funding in Iraq. They could do it selectively or in large measure. They don't have to withdraw any funds for supporting the actual troops, but they can shut down the war, but they won't do it. That's the bottom line.
And it's really, so much of this is just rhetoric over reality. It's smoke and mirrors. It's to give the American people the idea that we have a debate back in Washington, D.C., and that there are two sides, and I'd like to suggest there's one side. It's got two branches. One's the Republican Party, and the other's the Democrat Party, but it's all... It's simply all business as usual. As our boys are going to continue dying in ever larger numbers, and where is the outcry from the American people? We have an anti-war movement. It's just largely funded by the same people who are pushing the war. It's like Vietnam all over again. Go ahead, Joel.
Yes. There's another cover-up that's going on. I want to pursue this theme simply because it's very important for your listeners to understand this concept that there's a white side and a dark side in all the government law enforcement agencies. When we get to the Border Patrol, we're talking about the case of Ramos and his partner. What was his partner's name? In any case, it'll come to me in a second. These two border agents, Ignacio Ramos, right, and Alonso Campeón, were just convicted and sent up to 11 years of prison by President Bush's Justice Department for having shot a drug smuggler. And much has been made about the fact that this was put before a jury and the jury read the evidence. That sounds all very good until you realize the juries are very much coerced by judges' instructions. Judges tell them, we don't care what you think. If the prosecutors made this case, then you must find them guilty, and they give them no choice. And they set the law up in such a way that the jury has no choice. But in fact, the law was misused in many, many aspects of this case. One of the key issues against these two Border Patrol agents was that they tried to conceal evidence of having shot the smuggler. And one of the things that needs to come out very clearly is that the reason that they were concealing evidence is because there is a known factor within the Border Patrol that they're not supposed to shoot anyone, even if they're illegals, even if they're doing something wrong. You have to prove and jump over so many hoops. When, in fact, they shot this person, he was running away, and didn't find evidence that he had a gun. They thought he had a gun. There was something shiny in his hand when he whipped around to face them. They thought that he might be shot. But in any case, even if they were wrong, the law and the procedures of the Border Patrol are so skewed against the use of force. That's why you have these Mexican soldiers invading the United States all of the time, defending drug smugglers coming in. And nobody fires against these people because they've been told by the Border Patrol you don't use your arms against any of these illegal aliens unless someone's actually firing, and even then you're supposed to withdraw before returning fire. And so if that's the real reason, it isn't these people are criminals, it isn't these people are trying to evade the law, they know that the higher-ups in the Border Patrol are out to get them and they're trying to save themselves from these kinds of prosecutions. And certainly, it didn't succeed in this time because when they're determined to make examples of these people for using their weapons and for deterring drug smuggling, And that's what's really going on here. But there's a much larger story. U.S. Attorney Sutton has been, he's the overall U.S. attorney in the area for this thing, and there is a, you know, the actual prosecutor woman, which the name will come to me in a minute, is under him, but he's the one been making all of the media pitches on the Border Patrol agent's conviction. And Bill Conroy posted on one of the immigration sites here, he said, "I saw U.S. Attorney Johnny Sutton in my living room, well, at least his image. Sutton beamed into my life and into the homes of millions of other Americans while making an appearance on Fox's Hannity and Combs. As your listeners know, Dr. Stan, Hannity and Combs are part of the Mutt and Jeff show that Hannity plays the rabid conservative and Combs plays the misguided liberal or bumbling liberal. And Sutton, who oversees federal prosecutions in West and Southwest Texas from San Antonio, is one of the key figures in the House of Death murder, mass murder case. Now, what we have here, what I'm going to relate the two, is that there's a relationship between the prosecution of Ramos and Sutton, who apparently has been covering for these House of Death murders. What happened in the House of Death murders is that you have indications that there was a place of entrapment whereby many in the drug wars going on across the border of El Paso, you had luring either U.S. agents or other drug informants talking to the police on the U.S. side, luring them into this house and killing them. And now we come to find out that many of the people operating the house were actually U.S. informants themselves working for the government. And this fact came out in the investigation and has been suppressed by the U.S. attorney, Sutton, the same one who has railroaded, or under his supervision, railroaded Ramos and Campion into prison. What I think is going on here, Dr. Stan, is, and if you read many of the books that talk about the CIA's dealing, the dark side of U.S. law enforcement, dark side of the Border Patrol, dark side of INS, I mean, they allow drugs to come in. They have trucks that are certified and sealed, drug-free, packed in Mexico, come across the border. Drug-sniffing dogs go wild because there are drugs and drug residue around these trucks. And yet they're not allowed to open them because they've been sealed on the Mexican side. Tons of drugs come across the border that way. Border Patrol agents know it. Every time they go up to protest to their supervisors, they're told that headquarters in Washington, D.C., say, don't open the trucks, don't intervene. And so the orders are coming from the top. It's the top people involved. You know, there's an occasional rogue agent, of course, that maybe gets involved or takes money for dealing in drugs. Generally speaking, most of our Border Patrol agents and drug enforcement agents are very sincere. They are hand-tied at the top, and they know, and I have several subscribers who belong to those organizations who have told me, that if our problem is with our supervisors who won't let us enforce the law, who don't want the law enforced, and in this case, there's an article which I'm going to be showcasing in the World Affairs Brief this week about U.S. Attorney Sutton and his relationship in covering up the investigation that came to light, showing that in the House of Death were present at all times that these deaths occurred, U.S. agents. And that they were a party to these killings of other whistleblowers of the drug. And what this is basically saying is that this drug chain going on in Mexico, there are competing forces. There are U.S. drug forces who are running the show in combination with many Mexican cartels. And then there are cartels continually rising up which are running in competition with the CIA-controlled cartels. And that's where the infighting and the warring is occurring. And the Mexican government is very much aligned with the dark side activities of U.S. drug importation. And these things finance dark side activities within the CIA and the DEA and many other things. This is where a great deal of their money goes so that they don't have to come to Congress and they don't have to justify the funding for these assassinations and these illegal activities that our government is involved in.
No question at all. It's so difficult for the average individual to believe that there could be an element of the CIA that's involved in drug smuggling, but we have books written. We have an article by Gary Webb, who, after he had exposed the CIA and involvement in drugs, lost his job, was kept from ever getting another job, and then ended up committing suicide by shooting himself in the head twice to make sure he was dead. And, you know, this sort of thing goes on all the time. I mean, how many people out there in the audience really believe that somebody's going to shoot themselves in the head twice to make sure they're dead? It just doesn't make sense. But when you study this sort of thing, you find that they really do kill people in America. I've actually interviewed three separate CIA assassins hired by the CIA to kill people right here in the United States. We'll go right ahead, though.
Well, you know, this combination of dark side forces and the growing mercenary forces is getting more and more is coming out in the open. Blackwater is one of the biggest of these mercenary organizations. It used to be DynCorp. DynCorp got into so much trouble that it's absorbed by other companies to try to mask its... And a lot of this mercenary work has now shifted to Blackwater, who's run by Eric Prince. And these people come from a very strong, apparent, or what appears to be a fundamentalist Christian background, having financed or bankrolled several of the major family organizations of conservative Christians. And I'm not saying that the family organizations are involved, but I think many times these insider corporations who are doing illegal acts get on the right side of the political spectrum in order to mask their activities and keep them from being scrutinized by conservatives.
Well, I have no question that's true. In fact, certainly the... many of our so-called conservative organizations are taking large sums of money from very, very questionable people.
That's right. Does the music indicate we have a break coming up?
It does. We've got about 20 seconds right now. So if you want to hold off, our guest is Joel Skousen. Joel, one more time, get the website out there.
It's www.worldaffairsbrief.com.
All right, and we'll be back in just a moment to wrap up today's program with our special guest, Joel Skousen. All right, Joel, you got 3 minutes to wrap up the program.
Right. Well, my major story about Blackwater is that two things have surfaced. One, Blackwater has several lawsuits against it because of families suing the organization for the employees they've hired, the mercenaries they've hired have been killed, and they haven't been given any compensation. They want some compensation because Blackwater's not been honest with these particular families. But private security firm Blackwater has started to use roughshod tactics. They're now seeking $10 million from the attorney representing the estates of the four employees, arguing that their families breached the security guard's contracts by suing the company for wrongful death. And so essentially they're trying to use a shakedown tactics to scare off any attorneys from representing these families who want some compensation from Blackwater. The second legal tactic they're using is to claim that they are an extension of the U.S. military and so that they're exempt from these lawsuits. Now, this is incredible. It's actually true. They are extensions of the U.S. military. There is an incestuous relationship there. But the government is denying it, although they're acting as if Blackwater, DynCorp, MPRI, and other mercenary companies are. They have access to U.S. military weapons. They have access to U.S. intelligence. And guess who shows up as the attorney for Blackwater now? The major attorney just signed on by Blackwater is none other than Kenneth Starr. Kenneth Starr, who ran the Vince Foster cover-up for the government, who also pretends to be a Christian. He may well think he's a Christian. He may well be going to church. He may well be having the Bible study. But these people are involved in a major conspiracy of illegal activity, covering up, and they have to know that they are covering up for government activities. Kenneth Starr cannot be innocent of what he knows. The evidence was that Vince Foster was murdered, and that he specifically intimidated or allowed to be intimidated by dark side FBI agents, the witnesses that would have shown forth and whitewashed this incident. And so I'm finding these things are very strange that these Christian bedfellows come together in the name of the right wing and giving Christianity a bad name by working for Blackwater and becoming mercenaries for this government that's taking us into a world war.
Well, I think, of course, a Christian, you can judge not by necessarily what he says. by what he does, and is he living an exemplary life, or is he covering for really dangerous criminal activity? Because if he is, why, of course, you have to really seriously, you have the right to question what he does. Judge not lest you be judged by the judgment ye judge, is the quotation. We have a right to judge if we're willing to be judged by the same judgment. We're out of time, Joe. God bless you. Thanks so very much for being with us again.
My pleasure. We'll see you this evening.
Good night. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and let me just say that we carry a great deal of information on the things that Joel is talking about. We carry the book, Double Cross, written by the brother, the head of the Mafia, who talks about their incestuous relationship with the American Central Intelligence Agency. The book, Double Cross, you can get it by itself or as part of our intelligence special. And then, of course, we have 2 4 tape sets on the JFK assassination. One with contains an interview with Colonel Fletcher Prouty, an interview with Lee Harvey Oswald. Yes, an interview with Lee Harvey Oswald, and an interview with Dr. Crenshaw, who was in the emergency room at Parkland Hospital when they brought the President Kennedy in. And, of course, everything you've heard about the wounds is a lie. Dr. Crenshaw was told he would never practice medicine. He was threatened if he told the truth. Well, 25 years or so later, he did tell the truth, and we have an interview with him before he, in turn, himself died. One of the few interviews you'll ever hear with Dr. Crenshaw. We then had a JFK update with interviews, of course, with Madeleine Duncan Brown, who was Lyndon Johnson's mistress, who told her about the assassination that would take place the next day. Fascinating parts of history. So those are available from Radio Liberty. Of course, if you want to know about the CIA and drugs, we have a book called Drugging America. Another book called Defrauding America, and you'll actually learn about the CIA agents and DEA agents and FBI agents who are in federal prison today because they wanted to bring out the truth about American government and the CIA and the DEA pushing drugs. Then we carry the book Kiss the Boys Goodbye. It's the story of Vietnam and how so often why the bodies of our soldiers were sent home. They'd been eviscerated and their bodies had been packed with drugs. Written by Monica Jensen Stevenson. When the book was suppressed in America, it was reprinted in Canada where they accidentally shredded 5,000 copies of the book. We actually have the book. They're second-hand copies, but they're good shape. And you can get that right along with my interviews with Monica Justin Stevenson and others on the men we left behind. The hundreds and hundreds of American servicemen intentionally betrayed by Henry Kissinger and by Richard Nixon. And then this has to cover this up. We can't let the American people know. We can't let our fighting men know that we would betray our fighting men and leave them to die, or many of them probably still alive in that hopelessness of being slaves in South Vietnam. And the South Vietnamese would have given them back repeatedly. We didn't want them back. That is the ultimate betrayal. And as President Reagan said, a country that will betray its fighting men will betray its citizens. The book Kiss the Boys Goodbye, or get the Kiss the Boys Goodbye special, along with the four tape set, The Men We Left Behind, an interview with an essay written by Gary Webb, who shot himself in the head twice to make sure he was dead. That's Into the Buzzsaw. All of these items are available from Radio Liberty. Well, we have a great four tape set. Is there really a war on drugs? And you'll hear an encounter in the White House with President Clinton when asked about the drugs at Mena Airport, and his reply was, and you'll hear his own voice, "Well, that wasn't me. That was the federal government. That was their operation." That, ladies and gentlemen, you need to understand that much of what's going on today you'll never hear about elsewhere. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-544-8927. And then, of course, let me once again suggest Drugging America, Defrauding America, Kiss the Boys Goodbye, and get the tape set that goes with that. The Men We Left Behind, Into the Buzzsaw, with the essay by Gary Webb. And then the JFK four tape set, the JFK update. The information's there. Do you really care? And understand, if you don't understand the past, you can't understand what's going on in America today, or why we are going to continue expanding the war in the Middle East, and why more and more Americans are going to die there, because there's a powerful spiritual force drawing us towards World War III. And remember our number, 1-800-544-8927. Till tomorrow, may the Lord be with you.
You're listening to the Global Star Radio Network, located at Telstar 5KU band, frequency 11836, symbol rate 20770. Thank you for listening.
News from the Information Radio Network, I'm John Russell. Correspondent Mark Levy reports a former Israeli cabinet minister is in trouble with the law.
The Tel Aviv court found former Justice Minister Chaim Ramon guilty because he forcibly kissed a female soldier during a government reception. This clears the way for a cabinet reshuffle. It might include a new defense minister.
There are big increases planned in citizenship and other immigration fees. With more, here's correspondent Shelley Adler.
Two government officials say fees for a wide variety of immigration services would rise an average of 66%. That means the current cost of $330 to apply for citizenship would rise to slightly less than $600. Congressional Democrats are concerned. They've warned the director of the Homeland Security Department's Citizenship and Immigration Services. They plan to review what's behind any proposed immigration fee.